Matu
Hoja
Sharha
Arha
Kukuda
Antaka
Vishnibhi
Atma
Tulya
Alayar
Gupta
Nagar
Bhogavatim
Diva
Madhu Bhoja Dishar Harha
Madhu Bhoja Dishar Harha
Kukuran Thaka Vrishni Bhi
Kukuran Thaka Vrishni Bhi
Atma Tulya Valar Gupta
Atma Tulya Valar Gupta
Nagar Bhogavati Miva
Nagar Bhogavati Miva
Madhu Bhoja Dishar Harha
Madhu Bhoja Dishar Harha
Atmatulya Balar Gupta
Atmatulya Balar Gupta
Nagar Bhogavati Miva
Nagar Bhogavati Miva
Matu
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 Bhoja
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 Dasharha
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 Arha
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 Kukura
Kukura Antaka,
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 Vishnibhi,
Vishnibhi,
by the descendants of Vishnu,
by the descendants of Vishnu,
Atmatulya,
Atmatulya,
as good as himself,
as good as himself,
Valaihi,
Valaihi,
by strength,
by strength,
Guptam,
Guptam,
protected,
protected,
Nagaihi,
Nagaihi,
by the Nagas,
by the Nagas,
Bhogavatim,
Bhogavatim,
the capital of Nagaloka.
Capital of Nagaloka.
Iva,
Iva,
like.
Like.
As Bhogavati, the capital of Nagaloka, is protected by the Nagas, so was Dwarka protected by the descendants of Rishi. Bhoja, Madhu, Dasharha, Arha, Kukura, Antaka, etc., who were as strong as Lord Krishna. Purport. The Nagaloka planet is situated below the Earth planet, and it is understood that the sun rays are hampered there. The darkness of the planet is, however, removed by the flashes of the jewels set on the heads of the Nagas, celestial serpents. And it is said that there are beautiful gardens, rivulets, etc., for the enjoyment of the Nagas. It is understood here also that the place is well protected by the inhabitants. So also the city of Dwarka was well protected by the descendants of Vishnu, who were as powerful as the Lord, insofar as he manifested his strength upon this earth. Madhu Bhoja Dasharharha Kukurantaka Vrishni Bhi Atmatulya Balayar Guptam Nagar Bhogavati Niva. The inhabitants of Dwarka were protected by the associates of Lord Krishna, who were as strong as Krishna himself. And therefore, Nagar Bhogavati, Dwarka is compared to Bhogavati, the capital of Nagaloka. This Nagaloka is described in the fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. The lower places are called Bilaswara. The subterranean heavenly planets. Terra means the earth. Below the earth, there's another set of heavenly planets called subterranean heavenly planets. And the enjoyment there is better than in Sparta. better than heaven. In heaven, there are disturbances from time to time. In Bilaswarg, there are no disturbances at all. And everything there is gorgeously set up. They have, as the demigods have their architect, Vishvakarma, the demons in the lower planets have their architect, Mayadhanu, who has set up wonderful places, beautiful buildings, bejeweled courtyards, gardens, parks, assembly houses, guest houses, temples, courtyards. Then there are trees with all sorts of fruits and flowers. There are ponds with fish jumping. There are cuckoos, pigeons, beautiful singing birds. The atmosphere is very nice. And the inhabitants are mostly householders. They live with their wives and families. And they have undisturbed sense gratification. They have good facility for sex. There are three kinds of women there: Svairini, Kamini, and Pumschali. Those who marry from their own group, those who marry from any group, and those who are mobile. And the men have some intoxicant, they take this intoxicant, and they have sex with the girls, and they feel like $1 million. Or it's, Bhagavatam says, they feel like God. They feel that they have more strength than 10,000 elephants, and they feel like they are the supreme enjoyer. So this is the subterranean heavenly planets. Quite a lot of fun down there. But there's no sun. Having no sun has its advantages also, because there's no sun, there's no sense of time passing. No sense that another day of my life has gone by. There's none of that. And therefore there's no fear. There's no old age. There's no, people's bodies don't get wrinkled, they don't smell bad. They don't run out of energy when they're old. They have no problems at all. And no fear of anything except death. There's a fixed time, and death, that time represented as the Sudarshan Chakra, comes for them and then finishes. The defect is that there's no God consciousness. The heavenly planets, they may not compare, or they may not exceed the pleasures of the lower heavenly planets, but there's God consciousness. Vishnu Bhakta Smrita Daiva, Om Tad Vishnu Paramam Padam Sadapa Shanti Sudha. All the demigods are always looking toward the lotus feet of Vishnu. But in the subterranean heavenly planets, there's no consciousness of Vishnu. Asuras Tad Viparyaya. Just the opposite. We have all these nice arrangements, nice houses, nice families, nice parks, nice this, nice that, assembly houses, good everything. And there may be no sun, but we get light flashing from the jewels on the hoods of the Nagas. Everything's all right. Then death comes. Bhutva, bhutva, pradiyate. Take birth again and again and again and again. This is the defect. Maya sukaya paramudvahato vimudha. They think that they're enjoying, but their enjoyment is married to suffering. This is the nature of material enjoyment, that it's bound to suffering. They don't come separate in separate packages. If you buy into pleasure, you have to accept distress, misery. Now, the inhabitants of the lower planets think they're getting the greatest deal on Earth, or under Earth. But they don't, they're not mindful. That time will come, we'll have to die, we'll have to go to a new body, then what? Again? They have no consciousness that their life is meant for some higher purpose. You can tell from the capital, the name of their capital, Bhogavati. Bhoga City. In America also they name places like that nickname, Fun City. Bhogavati. This is their only business. Kamo papoga parama etavarati nishchuta. In the Bhagavad Gita. This is their goal in life. Parama. The highest thing, as far as they're concerned, is kama and poga. Sense gratification and sense gratification. Etavarati nishchuta. They're sure that there's nothing else beyond. The same philosophy is current in modern materialistic world. You go up to a person and say, yeah, what's your idea of the best thing in life? What do you think is the highest thing in life? And they'll say something like, to be the most that you can be. To realize your full potential. To get the most out of life. Right? And say this kind of stuff. To be happy. What does it mean? That they have no concept of anything beyond full potential means full potential for sense gratification. Be the most you can be means most adept at enjoying. Maybe some extended enjoyment, you and your friends, you and your country, you and your family. Beyond this, they have no idea that there's any higher purpose. Well, etavarati nishchuta. Therefore they're called demons. Demon means those who have no higher idea in life than their own sense gratification, immediate or extended. Those who have no idea that their constitutional position is that they're eternal servants of Krishna. That they don't know. That they don't know. Even that they're spiritual beings, that also they don't know, that they're eternal by nature. That they don't know. We're here. We can enjoy. And solving the problems of life just means making life more comfortable. Getting rid of the things that are standing in the way of our sense gratification. Yeah. Put an end to war. Why? Because war gets in the way of our sense gratification. Conquer disease. Why? Because disease is a problem for sense gratification. Yeah. Conquer death. And if you conquer death, what will you do? You'll live on in sense gratification. So this is the misfortune of the inhabitants of Nagaloka. They think that they're very fortunate. We have all amenities, all comforts, cushy. But they don't know that they're wasting their time. The time will come as the Sudarshan Chakra finish them off. And again, birth, death, birth, death. So the inhabitants of Dwarka, although the comparison is made, Nagar, Bhogavatimila, they were protected, but they were not misusing their life for that. They were so fortunate that they were directly associated with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. The Nagas, they don't even see the sun. The sun is supposed to be the eye of Krishna. Krishna never even looks at them. They want to be in the darkness. Asurya namate loka andina tamasavrita tamaste prechai vikashchanti yege chatmanam. They want to kill their spiritual life and live as if the body and senses were everything. So they're doing it. But the Dwarkavasis were living in the association of Krishna as servants of Krishna. It's not that Dwarka is just a place where everybody gets better sense gratification. For that, there's Nagaloka. The actual opulence of Dwarka is it's the place where everyone is interested in pleasing Krishna. That's the difference. In Nagaloka, they're pleasing themselves. And in Dwarka, they're pleasing Krishna. Otherwise, palaces, both places, courtyards, cuckoos, jewels, the works in both places. But on one side, Krishna, and devotional service to Krishna. And on the other side, our own Sanskrit. Therefore, the happiness in Dwarka is real happiness. What is that happiness? Not how much we're enjoying, but how much we're serving. We may enjoy or not enjoy, but Krishna should enjoy. And because they have that happiness, that consciousness, they enjoy more than anything. Because they've given up the spirit of enjoyment. And they're dedicated to the spirit of serving Krishna, automatically their enjoyment is there. And the Nagas who've given up the spirit of serving Krishna to enjoy for themselves, they get some enjoyment, but it will be finished. One moment's enjoyment, one blip on the radar screen of time. Maru bhoja dasharaharha kukurantaka vishni bhi atmatulya balayar. The Kshatriyas described here, the descendants of Andaka, Vishnu, Bhoja, these different dynasties, were super powerful. We hear that Krishna and Krishna's name are absolute. Krishna's name, form, qualities, pastimes, entourage. So the entourage of Krishna, his associates, are none different from Krishna. As Krishna is powerful, his associates are powerful. Of course, the entourage is, they're simultaneously not Krishna. Not that every member of the Vrishni dynasty is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But because they're connected with Krishna, integrated with Krishna in devotional service, they're none different from Krishna. Therefore, they have power. Practically immeasurable power. And therefore, the city was protected against all troubles. Even Krishna himself didn't have to personally protect it. The city was protected by his entourage. Why should he do everything? He delegates the responsibility, gives some service to his associates. You protect the city. Atmatulya. Therefore, they're on the same level as Krishna. Therefore, it was a problem when Krishna wanted to leave this world, ending his pastimes. What to do about all these people? There were a lot of them. It's described now. Krishna married 16,108 wives. By each wife, he had 10 children.
Boys,
yeah. There must have been a lot of girls recruited from somewhere, but he had 10 sons from each wife. And then they had their children, so there were children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren. So many people in Dwarka. And all personal associates of the Lord, so powerful. Now when Krishna's ready to leave, what to do with all the players in the drama? At the end of the play, they have to go also. So how to get rid of all these people? How to send them all back? Some of them have to go back to Godhead, some of them have to go to the heavenly planets. Some of Krishna's associates were recruited from among the demigods. Some of them were coming directly from the spiritual world. Now everybody has to go back because the show is about to end. So what to do? You can't have some invading force come and wipe out the city because they're powerful. Atmatulya, they're as good as Krishna. No one could defeat them. So powerful. Therefore, Krishna made an arrangement that some of his sons decided to horse around. That is to say, to have some fun. So some sages were assembled, and the brothers brought in Samba, the son of Jambavati and Krishna. And they said to the sages, they dressed Samba like a lady. And they said to the sages, this woman is pregnant, and we'd like to know whether she's going to give birth to a boy or a girl. Just to play games with the sages. We'd like to know. Please give us your blessings. Is she going to have a boy or a girl? The sages were not amused. They said, she'll give birth to a lump of iron. And that lump of iron will destroy your whole dynasty. Then the boys looked and they saw actually the lump of iron was there. They became very much afraid. They ground it to powder just to try to get rid of it and threw it in the ocean. There were some reeds growing on the side of the ocean, and those reeds were living by drinking the ocean water. So they also, along with the ocean water, they drank the iron. And later on some occasion, the Yadu dynasty members were drinking some fermented rice wine. And they became intoxicated and began fighting with one another. They couldn't recognize who was who, who's what. They just went mad, started fighting with one another. They were even beating Krishna, Balaram. They took these reeds on the shore as weapons. You know, just like you pick up something. So they picked up these reeds, but they were fortified now with iron. And the result was that they killed all one another off. Finished. Then, now Krishna can go back to Godhead, because we're go back to his abode. All the associates are now gone. But it was instructive that don't insult great persons. The whole thing happened. These Atmatulya, they're equal to Krishna. They're so powerful. And they were finished by insulting great personalities. Therefore, we're warned again and again, don't insult sadhus. Don't insult sadhus. A devotional service, by the blessings of devotees, one advances. By the blessings of superior persons, one advances. And by the dissatisfaction of saintly persons, everything finished. Yasya prasadat bhagavat prasad. By the mercy of the spiritual master, when he's pleased, then you get Krishna's mercy. Krishna becomes pleased also. And yasya aprasadat nagatir kutopi. When he's displeased, you're nowhere. If we dissatisfy and displease the spiritual master, then finished. Same thing. Become big, 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 advanced, advanced, and then punarmoshit pavavam comes again, nothing. By displeasing the spiritual master. The spiritual master is saintly persons. In Bhagavatam, nascharja metad yad asatsu sarvada mahad vininda kunapatma varishu shersham mahapurushapada pamsubhir nirastate jasu tadeva shodhana. Sati told her father. And it's very good for kunapatma varis. Kunapetritatuke, those who think that this bag of material disgusting elements is themselves. Those who think that the body is the self, kunapatma body, atma body, maya body, brahma body, so kunapatma bodies, those who think that this body is the self, it's very good for them to offend great persons. Shersham, because of envy, mahadvininda, to commit offenses, to blaspheme great persons. Nothing wonderful about it. It's very good. Not surprising. What will happen? Mahapurusha parupam siddhi, the dust of the lotus feet of great persons, gives one all good fortune. What is that? Mahat param vishobhi abhishekam. Raja padal abhishekam. That if one gets the dust of the lotus feet of great personalities, then one can advance in Krishna consciousness. Similarly, mahapurusha pada pamsubhi nirastate jasu. That same dust, if we offend the great personalities, wipes everything out. The dust works both ways. By pleasing the great souls, great devotees, spiritual master, one gets all the blessings of Krishna. And by offending great persons, everything finished. And there are so many examples. Dhirasa Muni, Ramchandra Puri. So many southern Indies. And the Dwarkavasis themselves, they're the example. They offended big sages, Narad Muni, other Munis, and whole dynasty wiped out. And we should be careful. Srila Prabhupada quoted that spiritual life is like the razor's edge. So we should be very careful. Hare Krishna. Any questions?
Hare Krishna, I just wanted to know about you spoke about the dust.
You want to know about what?
You spoke about the dust from the university of I want to know that what is the benefit sometimes in devotees touch each other's feet or they find the shoes of an advanced devotee and they touch. Do you get that blessing, something like that?
Can someone relay that who's not sitting so far in the back?
He said that when you touch the shoes of a advanced devotee, you get the blessing. That's the way you get the blessings, or is another way?
Is it that by touching the shoes of the devotees, is that how you get their blessings, or is there some other way? It's your mentality. It's not simply that, you know, it's magic. You know, that somehow or other, whoever can, you know, like one of these films, whoever can grab the dust and, you know, steal it from the other guy and somehow or other, you know, at the end of the film, touch it to his head and boom! Superpower. No, it's not like that. The essence is your feeling of submission and service. That's the real thing. Not simply how expert you are at, you know, somehow or other tripping someone on the way to Mangalarti. It's your service attitude. Therefore, even in the absence of the spiritual master, one can get all his blessings. It's not that only in his physical presence, while you can get some dust, then you can make progress by his grace. And when he physically leaves and takes his dust away, now you can no longer make progress. It's by dedication to the instructions of the spiritual master that one bathes in dust at his lotus feet. Some other question? Yes.
Right, you mentioned about the Narayas. In South India, I've seen in temples there's descriptions of there's sculptures of Nagas.
There's a description of?
Sculptures of Nagas.
Sculptures of Nagas, yeah, there are a lot of Naga temples, Naga deities.
And they actually worship, because it would be pious.
Yeah.
And in Krishna Lila, there were the wives of Kalia, and there are also Nagas. And there's Vasuki, who is, I think, the Vishnu or something. So, is it, are they really them with demoniac, or is it some, it's pious to worship them?
Pious may be, according to some consideration, just like some also in South India, it's considered pious to worship. Who is that? Kartikeya. You go to different places. Some places it's considered, like Sri Lanka, it's considered pious to worship Ravana. Some place they're worshiping Ravana. Here in Bengal they're worshiping Durga. Durga, of course, she's a demigod. Goddess. But pious, impious, dvaite bhadra bhadra gyan e manodharma. It's all mental concoction. Their pious is if we can get something. Why are they worshipping Durga? Because she embodies the material energy, so whatever we want, we can get from Durga. They're worshipping the shadow. Chayeva, you see. They think it's pious. Instead of worshipping the light, they worship the shadow. And it's pious. It's actually pious or impious, it's all impious. E balo e mande e sabram. It's pious. You can listen to the life of the Nagas. You know? Nice place to live. No economic problems. In ecological environment. Good sex. No fear. No old age. You don't need deodorant. You know, all these great things. But it's all Maya. Kali is another thing. He was not a devotee, but he became a devotee. That's a different thing. But their general, their description in fifth canto, they're demons. They're demons. People are worshipping also Durga. I've seen Kali, I've seen Durga. What have you seen? You've seen Maya, that's all. And they think I'm so fortunate.
Yes. As you heard that Nagas, they brought big rose for Shivanga Shivdes.
You've heard that the Nagas do what?
They brought big rose for Ranga Shivdes.
They don't?
They brought big rose.
Yeah.
For Ranga Shivdes.
They brought pearls for Sri Rangam?
Yeah.
Yeah, for the rest.
Yeah, maybe something good.
Some of them.
Yeah, there may be, you know, different. I'm not expert in Naga lore. You know, all the history of the Nagas and who were the good guys and who were the bad guys among the Nagas and what they did when and who. The summary study from Bhagavatam is that there was asuras. But every now and then you get Kaliya, the Prajpasi, the Nagapatnis were praying. What did the snake do? Brahma is praying and praying and praying. Please, 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 can I get the dust of your lotus feet? And you're smashing him with your lotus feet. You're just stamping your lotus feet into his hands. So what kind of pious activities did this serpent perform? Kaliya.
When I teach math mantra in the Japa program, many times these people want to touch my feet, you know, and I think this is not good, no, and I do it again. I am not a devotee, and this is not what they take by my bath.
Yeah, generally this dust-taking business, again, people have some ideas. Very rarely are they thinking that by touching the dust, the feet of this person, I'll get pure devotional service. I'll get freed from my sins. I'll get, you know, auspiciousness, material happiness. Huh? Especially my sinful, you know, things. I'll get the blessings of the sadhu. Blessings of the sadhu means my material life will be all right. So, Prabhupada also is careful that not to let ordinary people touch his feet. There's some subtle bank transfers that we want to avoid. We're giving people the greatest blessing. Why do you want my feet? Use your ear to get some blessings. If you want blessing, use your ears, not your hands. Just take this Maha Mantra. We're not, you know, the ordinary sadhus, they're in the business of, you know, giving ashirvads, you know. People touch their feet and they touch their heads and there's a, you know, what kind of, you know, what would you like for Christmas, little boy? They give them, you know, whatever kind of blessing you want. We're not in that business. When, you know the story, that Prabhupada was on some train and some pious gentleman here in India came and wanted to touch Prabhupada's feet and take his ashirvad. Prabhupada said, what kind of ashirvad do you want? So it was the usual kind of ashirvad, you know, my son may do well in his exams, my wife's health may be better, my business may be alright. Prabhupada gestured toward one of his shaven-headed disciples and said, can I give you my ashirvad? You can become like him.
I was thinking with the outsiders, that they're being offended and they cursed is a blessing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, to be cursed by a sadhu is another kind of blessing, yes.
Is there a matter of degrees that you can get the blessings by pleasing a sadhu or displeasing a sadhu?
Yeah, it's a blessing, you know. If you lose all of your material, just like, who was that, Gopal Chapala? He insulted Haridas Thakur and he got leprosy and his nose fell off. That was a blessing for him. He was a puffed up nonsense. And there was another Gopal Chakravarti. He insulted Srivas Thakur and he also got leprosy and he was like outside the village. Nobody wanted to be near him and he was suffering like a dog. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went past by, oh, you're Patita Pavana, please save me. No. You've offended Srivas Thakur. I won't save you. Go to hell. So that's a kind of blessing. You're so puffed up, you think you're so smart that you can play games with sadhus and insult them and play tricks and then, all right. Try leprosy. That's a blessing. But that's not the kind of blessing that we would most like to have. Death is also a kind, you know, the demons are killed by Krishna. That's a blessing. But that's the blessing that you get for unfavorably coming in contact with Krishna. Anukulyena Krishna Anushinda. We want to come in touch with Krishna and his devotees favorably. Even unfavorably, somehow if you get kicked by a devotee, it's good. But better to be favorably connected. Yes.
It's probably a lame question, but I always wondered, you hear different versions of where Vilasvara is. Is it within the globe of the Earth, or is it some planets under the Earth?
Under.
It's not within.
No. It's described subterranean, under Earth. There's Earth with its different dweeps. Earth is the earthly planetary system. Bhumandala. Then, for the same extent, same length and width, it's described beneath tal, atal, ital, talatal, patal. They're described as beneath. It's described so many yojanas below this as this, so many yojanas below that as that. Beneath.
How come they don't get any sun? How come they don't get any sun?
Because they're beneath the earth. The sun is above. The Bhumandala is there. And then beneath that, so it's blocked.
Completely black, though.
Black. Except for the light coming from the jewels of the nuggets, it's black. It's dark.
So they take the form in religious activities, you get that, but the purpose of the religious activity is actually purifying. So why do they...
The purpose of the religious activities is what?
Purifying.
Is it to be purified? Not necessarily, or not there. Let me think about it a second. I don't know that by pious activities one goes to go to this work. By pious activities, we should go to the heavenly planets. Asurya, those who are asuras.
Yeah,
They're by definition not actually pious.
And how do you get a position of enjoyment?
Yeah, some just like the demons, just like, you know, these vicious demons of the material world who are, you know, murdering women and children, stealing from, you know, just voraciously devouring other people's lives. And they're living in big palaces. They've got lots of prostitutes and big meals and power. You know, they think they're the hottest thing in the world. How is it possible? Now, Ravana. So much power, so much enjoyment, Svarna Lanka, golden city.
But he was also
supposed to be pious, but it's not actually pious. Piety. Just like there's Maya Sukha, illusory enjoyment, so there's illusory piety. It appears to be pious, but because there's not Krishna, it's impious.
And how does it come from
Krishna. It comes from their misdirected so-called pious activities. They do something, I don't know the details, but there's different places. They somehow don't wind up, you know, groaning in eternal fires and stuff like that. But they wind up in this place where they think, oh, great. But they're in the deepest delusion. It's not actually enjoyment. They think that they're getting enjoyment. It's not actually enjoyment. They think that they have no problems. They've got the biggest problem. So it seems that they've performed pious activities, but it's not pious activities. If it were actually pious, they would have been elevated. Instead, they've been sent down. They're in this place where they can't see the sun, where they don't think of Krishna for even a moment, where they're simply under the illusion that they're enjoying. It's not actually pious.
What was the difference? The
difference is that the demigods have Krishna consciousness.
They're still under the illusion they're enjoying.
They're under the illusion that they're enjoying, but they don't forget Krishna. The demigods, that's why they're demigods. In the material world, as soon as we think about enjoyment, we forget about Krishna. The demigods have some facility for enjoyment, and they remember Krishna. The demigods are, you know, we laugh at them, but they're engaged in devotional service. They're engaged in devotional service. They have some material desires, so they're stuck with this. Actually, it's a problem. It's that their so-called material enjoyment, that's not the good stuff. That's the bad stuff. That's what's preventing them from going back to Godhead and getting real enjoyment. Dhruva Maharaj prayed, I was so foolish that I was after a material planet. And now I have to live with it. Yeah, Krishna gave it. Better than Indra, better than Brahma. And he was lamenting, now look what I've got. It's not actually the benediction that the demigods have. Oh, you can enjoy sex, you can enjoy intoxicants, you can enjoy this, you can enjoy that. It's actually their punishment for having retained material desires. Prabhupada, you know, gold shackles and iron shackles. The demigods have gold shackles. Lucky them. And these are the... These people are an illusion that they're demigods. Bilaswarg. Underground hell. Underground heaven. Underground heaven. What's underground heaven? It's a kind of hell. Where there's no Krishna consciousness, that's hell.
Also in the time of the communist countries, they were very pious, camaraderie, and
yeah,
they were putting Krishna aside.
Yeah.
They were enjoying, right?
Yeah, I mean that's an issue. What kind of enjoyment? But you know, I went to the when I was growing up in America. You know, the communist countries. Everyone is suffering. Everyone is downtrodden. Everything is gray and miserable. People have no life. They're always under the shackles of their communist leaders. And you know, everyone lives in fear. This and that and so on. And not to say anything boosting communism. But then when I went to Hungary, which at that time was under communist rule, I saw that, you know, the buses are going, people are going to work, and, you know, everything is going on. Why? People have sex life. You know, the boys and the girls are together, the men and women are married, they have their family life. You know, we can live with it. There's some material enjoyment here, things are going on. And we're not going to sit here thinking about, oh, the communists are so bad, the communist government is that. Hey, you know, she smiled at me. You know, there's a little flicker of material enjoyment. And we forget that, you know, who's in charge, what the government is, whether it's, you know, that we could be in democracy. Or, you know, the Nagas don't think. We could be in heaven. We could see the sun. We're getting enjoyment here. What do we care? That's mine. Word from the communist block. Yes.
Yeah. I can testify that there's no enjoyment in communist countries. That's for sure.
Well, just to interrupt you for a second, you've got testimony from his side that there's no enjoyment in the communist countries, and testimony from my side that there's no happiness in the capitalist countries. There's no happiness anywhere.
But in regard to the question which was raised, I think that maybe the difference between the heavenly plants and the subterranean plants is that actually, it is stated in the Shastra that enjoyment comes only through piety, right? So, but, you know, and these people who are in the subterranean heavenly planets, they enjoy because they did some pious activities in their past lives. But there are different types of piety and pious activities, and the main difference is the attitude towards Bhagavan, towards Krishna. In other words, someone is worshipping Shiva, supposedly, or Krishna, and in his heart there is a certain move towards Krishna, then he will go to Swarga, because it is a place where pious and divine nature living being reside. But if someone is worshipping the same demigod, but in the core of his heart there is an envy towards God, then he will go to the subterranean temple. Like Ravana was a good example, actually, because he was worshipping Shiva in a very, very beautiful way. He was offering very beautiful hymns to glorify Shiva, and Shiva was pleased, and he blessed him, yes. Have unlimited opulence, unlimited power. But what he did with that, he hated Ram, and he had stolen his wife. And but at the other hand, in Brihad Bhagavatam, we can see that Madhura Brahman, he was worshipping Kamakya Devi, which is Durga herself. And what was the result? He wanted money, he wanted wealth, but Shiva appeared and he blessed him with Gopal Mantra. And he said, no, go forward and you will get something higher. He said, so why? Because he saw that there is a purity in the heart of the Brahman.
Same thing, Hiranyakashipu. Pious activities. You know, austerity is considered pious. He stood on his toes for thousands of years, hands in the air, let his body be ravished by the ants. So, you know, why didn't he get the greatest benediction?
He did.
Yeah, he was killed by the Rishi. But we don't consider him at all. Hiranyakashipu, he was so pious. He's a demon. Hiranyakashipu, Ravana. Moghasha, Moga Karmano, Moga Gyanavichetasa. Asarim, Rakshasim, Jaiva, Prakritim, Mohinim, Trita. All of their aspirations, all their punya karma, all their so-called gyan, is frustrated. Vichetasa, because they're against Krishna. Therefore, asrim rakshasim jaya. Prakriti mohinim shita. Instead of taking shelter of Krishna, they took shelter of his bewildering energy. So instead of getting happiness, they get the illusion of happiness. Instead of getting the actual fruits of pious activities, they got the real fruit of pious activities to go back to Godhead. Even the demigods don't get the real fruits of pious activities. And these guys, they get deep shadow. They think they're there, and they're just in the opposite place. We're running a little late. There's questions galore today. Yes, Mahamaji. Last question. I don't know. How are we going to preach to Nagaloka? We've got enough problems here, you know? If we want to preach to people who never see this, you know, we can start with England. No, by Krishna's arrangement, eventually there will be some opportunity, we hope, for that. Maybe by Kaliya's mercy. There's some mention like that. I don't know if it's in Brihad Bhagavatam or someplace, that because of being associated with Kaliya, the Nagas get some mercy. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Glorious to you.